Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor. Once again, the presses roll for another story from the Night Editor's office, as Hal Burdick tells us his tensely dramatic yarn about Manny Griffin's present to Police Lieutenant Pat Cameron, a story titled Smoke Ring.
Manny's present was to be a box of expensive cigars, much finer than the brand Pat had smoked for years. But the box was to contain only the top layer, and under it, fashioned so that the removal of any cigar from the top layer would explode it, was Manny's gift in hated remembrance for those years in the big house that Pat Cameron had arranged for him.
Friends, I could tell you many things about Edwards Coffee, about its flavor, how it's blended and roasted under Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula. Yes, just why it gives you an extra flavor lift. But I could never really tell you just how delicious it is, how satisfying. Only you can discover that when you first taste that rich flavor in the cup. And so, I'd like to invite you to try Edwards Coffee, to see for yourself what an exceptional coffee it is. Believe me, you'll find that it does give you an extra flavor lift. Buy a pound, won't you? Edwards Coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Well, it's that mid-evening hour when the newsroom pressure slacks off a little between editions, and most of the staff have slipped out for a quick cup of coffee before taking up the night's work again. Al and Bobby are in their favorite corner booth down in the corner lunchroom, and Bobby is saying...
Some good local stories in the paper tonight, Hal.
Yeah.
Hey, how'd you like that feature yarn on the retirement of Police Captain Mackey?
Yeah, there was a good job of reporting. Yeah, remind me to write a memo to the man on the police beat, giving him a little pat on the back.
Huh? Okay, and he'll sure appreciate it, too.
Yeah. I read that story with a lot of interest, Bobby. Reminded me of the time, good many years ago, when Lieutenant Pat Cameron retired from the force in a city where I was covering the police run. Though, of course, that yarn had the added feature of a bomb explosion mixed up in it.
Huh? Bomb explosion?
Yeah.
Boy, that sounds as though they gave the lieutenant a real send-off.
Well, it made quite an exciting mystery story. Yeah, it was several days before we got all the facts put together.
Hey, tell me more about this, Hal.
Well, the retirement of Pat Cameron after more than 40 years in the department was an event that attracted a lot of attention, Bobby. For during those years, he had become one of the best-known figures on the force. Best known, and by most people, best loved. They were the ones who knew him as the kindliest man you'd hope to meet. Who'd suddenly show up with a basket of groceries when it was most needed. Who'd pick up some youngster off the street and take him in for a new pair of shoes. Or see that a doctor showed up at the right moment. There were those who feared him and respected his two big fists from the days when he walked a beat as a harness copper in the lower end of town. And there was a third class that hated him. The crooks he'd put behind bars for their crimes. And among them was Manny Griffin, who sent Pat Cameron a present on the day the big lieutenant said farewell to the force. It was there on Pat's desk in his flower-banked office, resting innocently among the many gifts from people great and small. Only, there was nothing innocent about Manny's present. During his years in the prison to which Pat Cameron had sent him, Manny had spent long hours planning his gift. When he finished his sentence, he came back to town secretly and kept away from all contacts with old pals, so there'd be nothing to tie him up with what he was planning to do. The news of Pat's coming retirement tied in nicely with his scheme, and Manny lost no time getting busy on it. His present was to be a box of expensive cigars, much finer than the brand Pat had smoked for years, but the box was to contain only the top layer. Through the underside of the layer was threaded a fine wire. It ran down to the place where the bottom layer should have been. And there, Manny installed a curious device, neatly arranged so that when any one of the top cigars was lifted out of place, there would be an explosion that would settle his accounting with Pat Cameron for all time. When it was finished, Manny Griffin's twisted brain held only one regret, that he didn't dare keep the bottom layer for himself. Manny likes cigars, too, but he must take no chance that even a cigar of the same make should be found on him. It hurt to do it, but he burned them. Then he wrapped his gift in a neat package and mailed it to Cameron to arrive on the day of his retirement. And for the rest, he could sit back and await the good news that Lieutenant Pat Cameron had been killed in a mysterious bomb explosion. The final hand clasp had been given, the last caller had departed, and Pat stood looking down at the desk laden with expressions of goodwill. One of the younger officers who'd remained in the room with him spoke. "Yeah, what are you going to do with all the loot, Pat?" Well, I was just thinking you might have somebody take all those flowers to the city emergency hospital. They'd be wasted in my bachelor diggings. Yeah, then have the night janitor put the other things in a big box, and maybe one of the prowler crews could drop it off at my place.
His hand reached out to pick up a package.
Now, there's one I haven't opened.
He tore the outer wrappings away.
Well, now, it's a box of fine cigars. Better than my usual brand. No card on it. It's inside, maybe.
He opened the top lid, across which, with cunning care, Manny had replaced the unbroken tax stamps.
No card inside, either. It's funny. Well, whoever sent them sure knew how to pick good ones. Here, have one, Joe.
No thanks, Pat.
Oh, go on, take one.
His fingers reached down to pick one from the top layer, but his companion reached out to stop him.
No, Pat, no. You save them for your homework. You're going to have time to enjoy a good cigar now. Yeah, sure, you take them along with you tonight, and I'll have the rest of the presents over to your house as soon as we can get them packed.
With Manny's gift under his arm, the lieutenant left the building and headed for a little side street restaurant where they made beef stew just to his liking. Yes, sir, he'd take plenty of time at dinner tonight, and afterward top it off with a second cup of coffee and one of his gift cigars. Yeah, as befitted a man on the eve of the years of well-earned rest ahead of him. But a block from the restaurant, he stopped. While he was in the neighborhood, why not look in on Frank Lavender? Poor guy. Hurt in a factory accident 2 years before. Wheelchair cripple ever since. Somehow, Mrs. Lavender kept a roof over their heads, though more than once it was Big Pat Cameron who filled the empty cupboard. He chatted with Frank and his wife for a few minutes, telling them about the reception in his office that afternoon. Then, as he stood up to leave, he did one of those spontaneously generous things that were as much a part of him as his two big hands. From under his arm, he took Manny Griffin's present and held it out toward the wasted figure in the chair.
I'd like you to have a share in all the good things that happened to me today, Frankie Milan. Yeah, here.
A box of cigars. Well, mighty fine ones, too.
Yeah, from some unknown admirer. I can't think of anybody I'd rather have smoke them up for me.
Well, that's good of you, Lieutenant. I can't afford cigars anymore, but... Oh, I don't feel right about taking one of your presents and...
Go on, take them. They're too fancy for me, anyway.
The man in the chair opened the lid, held out the box.
Well, at least have one with me, Lieutenant.
He started to remove one, but Cameron reached out to close the box.
No, not a bit of it. Every cigar in that box is for you, Frank.
Yep.
Well, gotta be on my way now. I'll be dropping in again soon.
When the door closed behind him... Mrs. Lavender's hand brushed across her faded eyes. Wasn't that just like the lieutenant? Sharing his presence with you? Bless his generous heart.
Yeah, best friend we ever had, Agnes. Why, I haven't tasted a cigar like that in years.
He opened the lid again, looked down at the neatly packed top layer.
Yeah, I guess I'll try one now.
His thin hand moved toward the layer, fingertips closing on the end of one of the cigars. It rested there for a moment. Then...
No, I ain't going to do it. You're not going to smoke one. Well, why not?
He closed the lid again.
Because 'tain't fair, me being the only one to enjoy Lieutenant Cameron's present. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. You take him down to the Dutchman's place on the corner. He ought to give you $3, maybe $4 for him. We need money more than we do fancy cigars, and the lieutenant would understand. Sure, he'd be glad for you to share his present. You take him down there right now.
Mr. Ruger, the shopkeeper, looked down at the box that Mrs. Lavender put on the counter. He picked it up, opened the lid, nodded.
Yeah, fine cigars they are. But I tell you, $3 is the best I could offer you. Oh, worth much more they are, but I don't have so much sale for high-class goods like those. Maybe if I sell them a little cheaper, I get my money back that way, huh?
As the woman left the store, the old fellow picked up the box again, sniffing the delicate aroma of the tobacco.
It had been a long time since he'd smoked perfectos such as those. Price had been a bargain. Yeah, there was no reason why he shouldn't enjoy just one of them.
His fingers touched the layer. But no, not now. After dinner would be the time. He was preparing it in his living rooms back of the store when Mrs. Lavender came in. Not many customers this time of night. Have dinner first, then lock up and have time really to enjoy his smoke. He smiled at the thought of it and went on back to his tiny kitchen... The box of cigars still open on the counter. In the restaurant, Pat Cameron was just finishing his steaming plate of beef stew when he heard the distant explosion.
By the time he located it and reached the store, the beat patrolman was already there and had put in a call to headquarters. They kept the crowd back until prowler cars screamed up with members of the bomb squad. Pat barked orders as they pushed their way into the wrecked interior of the little shop. "Now don't touch that body till the coroner gets here, boys. Then we really get to work." One of the detectives shook his head slowly. "Yeah, it looks like a tough case, Pat. Things are pretty well scattered."
"Yeah.
Well, have one of the boys see if they can find out anything from that crowd outside." For several minutes, they moved cautiously around the litter of broken glass on the floor, the lieutenant stopping to look down at the twisted figure in one corner. Then the outside man was joining them again.
"Well, I found an eyewitness, Lieutenant."
"Yeah? Who is it?"
"Kid. He was across the street."
"Yeah, he saw a man sneak up along the window of the shop and stand there peeking in. He looked around to see if anybody was watching, but didn't see the boy who was in the doorway. And, of course, there was no one in the shop because Ruger was out back having his dinner. Well, all of a sudden, this guy darts into the store. Kid sees him reach out to grab a handful of cigars out of a box on the counter, and there's a flash and a roar, and that's all there is to it." The lieutenant's eyes strayed to the figure on the floor once again.
"Well, I'm not surprised that Manny Griffin was up to his old tricks, stealing things off counters. He'd only been out of the big house a few days after serving a term for such as that. But that still doesn't account for his being blown up by a bomb. You get it, Ruger?"
The white-faced old shopkeeper shook his head in bewilderment. And Pat Cameron went on.
"Whatever it was, I'll say his last smoke was a red-hot one. And maybe in some mysterious way, Manny had it coming to him. Who knows?"
Friends, good coffee begins in the bean, but the flavor? Ah, that has to be developed by those who really know the art of blending and roasting. Now, take Edwards Coffee. Every pound is specially blended and roasted according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula, the careful custom way. Nothing is left to chance. Only the choice coffee beans are selected for the exclusive Edwards blend, chosen for size, shape, and color, then blended in small batches, not by weight, but by flavor. Every pound is roasted by the modern heated air thermal process, which brings out the full, rich goodness in the bean, then immediately ground and vacuum packed to bring all the flavor to you at peak freshness. Yes, Edwards coffee is really delicious. Truly the coffee with the extra flavor lift. If you'll just try a pound, I'm sure you'll find it's outstanding coffee. Your money refunded if you don't thoroughly enjoy it. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Now, Hal, what's the news from the night editor's office about next week's yarn?
George Alden was a man who'd lived his life in the hill country. And when sickness cooped him up in a city apartment for a few weeks, it was almost more than he could take. Then, one morning, autumn came to the city, bringing him the taste and feel and smell of the open country. It tempted him out of doors and into a strange and exciting adventure that I'll relate to you in my story, Autumn Fever, when we meet in the newsroom next week. Join us then, won't you? Good night.
Be sure to listen next week at this same time when the roar of the presses brings us another dramatic yarn written and told by your night editor, Hal Burdick. This is Bill Baldwin saying goodnight for Edwards Coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.